So super excited to be talking to Dave Rubin of the Rubin Report today. But first, we would just like to remind everyone that Christmas is right around the corner and there are amazing things that you can get as stocking stuffers or gifts at MyPillow.com/chicks.
Who doesn't want MyPillow stuff? I don't know a person who does not want MyPillow stuff. I mean, everybody wants it. I know that all of my kids are going to be getting MyPillow stuff this year. I probably just gave away a surprise. But all sorts of stuff, you guys. Sheets, slippers, robes, cardigans. They have cardigans now. But you have to go to MyPillow.com. You got to click on the radio listener specials. This is very important for specials like 40% off of my slippers, which are the best because they have the kitten fur technology, as we told you time and time again.
Kitten fur technology.
Right. It's squeezy kitten fur technology. And then 50% off my pillow mattress toppers, which are completely awesome. So enter promo code CHICKS or call 800-875-0513. For all the great MyPillow specials, that's 800-875-0513, or use promo code CHICKS at checkout. You can do this online too. Save now, just in time, for getting the ultimate gift and comfort with the best deals of the year on all MyPillow products. And you can do that right there at MyPillow, MyPillow.com/chicks.
You can't steal my copyrighted material. I still believe in laws. But if you want to just say bad things about Dave Rubin, you can all day.
All right. See, and transparency is something that you'll do different too.
We figured out one way that you could avoid that is if you use Pig Latin. So we've talked about the ectionale being olenste. And so far that's worked for us. Very, very excited to have on the Chicks on the Right podcast today, none other than Dave Rubin of the Rubin Report. There are so many things in your bio that we could list about you, but I think one of the most recent things is that you're an author of Don't Burn This Country, and you're also co-founder of Locals, which has now joined forces with Rumble. So this is a really exciting partnership. We want to hear all about it.
Yeah, well, first off, it's good to be with you guys. I know we've been trying to set this thing up for a while, so I'm glad to see your smiling faces. Yeah, you know, look, we all know that there is something wrong with big tech. There is something wrong with social media. There is something wrong with the way we're all communicating with each other. We know that the temperament in the country is not right. We don't know how exactly it is fueled by algorithms and big tech manipulation and everything else. And everyone just talks about it, but no one actually does anything. So a couple of years ago, I said to my brother-in-law, who's a tech guy, I said, hey, you know, I don't want to be on Patreon anymore. I don't like what they're doing. Patreon was a crowdfunding site. There were some issues around free speech. I said, let's build a subscription network just for me. Once we did that, we thought, all right, well, that's pretty cool. We did it for me. Maybe that would be useful to some other people. So we started getting some other people on board. And then we thought, well, what else do I need? I would like my own video player, my own audio player. I'd like a community with a slick app so I could chat, text chat with people, directly video chat with people, and a whole bunch of other features. And we started building it. I spent basically 3 years of my life, in some ways, the Rubin Report, the show, was the secondary thing I was doing because we were fundraising. I was going into offices and VC funds and all of that stuff and traveling around trying to sell the product so that we could get some money to build it faster and better. And fortunately, we had some success in doing that. And then about 2 months ago, we announced that we're merging with Rumble, which is really the only sort of real YouTube competitor. And not only are they a YouTube competitor, they're also an Amazon AWS competitor. That's what people don't really know. AWS, Amazon Web Services, that's like the underbelly of the internet. And of course, you guys know when Parler was just blown off the internet right after January 6th, it's because Amazon, the people there can literally just click a button or tap a touchscreen and just wipe you off the internet. So Rumble is building incredible infrastructure to replace that, as well as the YouTube, you know, the video front facing side of it. And we merged. And then in the last 10 days or so, it was announced that we've also joined with Cantor Fitzgerald, and we're going public. And, you know, the initial through a SPAC, it gets sort of technical here, but we're public at the moment. And then there'll be some more announcements over the next couple months. And look, I think it's the chance that we've got to fight against big tech. You know, like, we're going to do everything we can to correct the stuff that we all know is wrong. That's the goal.
So how does that tie into the Trump Truth platform? Because I understand that there's also some partnershipping going on with that as well.
Yeah, so Rumble is running some of the infrastructure on the yet to be fully disclosed Trump social network. It's called Trump Social. I don't know that they fully, or I know that they haven't fully released the feature set and exactly what it's going to be. But Rumble will be running some of the infrastructure. So to that point, you can see we're really trying to build a parallel economy. We're going to have a different place to go to for video, a different place to go to for audio, a different place if you get kicked off the payment processor that you want to use for whatever it might be that you're buying. We need a parallel economy. I'm not here to have the government break these guys up or have, you know, bureaucrats go in there and look at the algorithm as if they could fix it or anything like that. It's like, let's just build better products. That is our plan. So I would say it's sort of like, look, they've got their plan. They've got their path, their road. They're going down that road. It includes diversity and inclusion. It includes, you know, hiding, shadow banning people and algorithmic tricks and all that. We're just going to build a better product.
Yeah, I love that.
So we're going to have parallel roads, but we're going to build our road with the right stuff. And I think that will attract people. So I always think competition is better.
Love it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think competition is better. Yeah, you will see people, you will see an exodus and people will start coming over if you do build it, but if you do build it better, you know, because I think that's what people have been looking for. Oh my God, we've been looking for something like that. There have been so many, there are so many conservatives, so many people on the right, just so many people in general who have been squelched and squashed and canceled and just, you know, put aside and lost their businesses and lost their livelihoods over the past, gosh, what, 4 or 5 years, we've seen it happen. I'm surprised that we're still even doing what we're doing.
I get it. At some level, you know, if you put videos on YouTube, it's like if you were to just say anything about the election or say that you're going to say anything about the election, you risk getting demonetized or just pay or having your channel taken out or whatever. If you say that you're anti-vax or anti-vax mandate, which I'm completely against the mandate, you risk either being, you know, depressed in the algorithm, your audience doesn't see your videos, or you're demonetized. You just don't know.
Yeah. Well, we figured out one way that you could avoid that is if you use Pig Latin. So we've talked about the Exchanale being Olenstay. And so far that's worked for us.
But then you think to yourself, you're like, why am I freaking doing this? Because it's like, this, what are we living in, communist China? This is so stupid. Yeah, but you're right, though. I mean, this is what we have to do to work around the fact that there is no alternative. So what you're doing is fantastic.
You know, I've got nothing better to do than save the world.
So how will you manage then? Inevitably, there will be the trolls, right, that are like hell bent on taking you down. And if they have to do that en masse by, I don't know, accusing you of inciting an insurrection, or if they do it in any number of ways by saying your platform is causing terrorism, they'll try all the things. So how will you counteract that?
Yeah, it's a great question without a great answer. Now, first off, I can tell you that, you know, Dan Bongino is also heavily involved in Rumble, and he and I, as the sort of public-facing people on this, we're going to do our best to communicate our policies as clearly and honestly as possible. And also Chris, who is the CEO of Rumble, and Asaf, who's the CEO of Locals, we're all going to try to be out there as much, being honest about what our policies are, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, how we want to deal with some of this stuff. I mean, you know, the funny thing about when you talk about, okay, the trolls coming on, or they're going to say you instigated an insurrection or all the nonsense, it's like we know now that there was far more coordination on January 6th that was happening on Facebook, rather than Parler. But Parler was the new guy on the street. They had 23 million subscribers. And basically, it was just a mafia move. What does the mafia do? You know, if you watch The Sopranos, it's like, what does the mafia do when a New York guy is trying to get some business in Jersey or vice versa? You take him out. They saw a new guy in the game and they just said, oh, this is the perfect way we can take him out. Because if Amazon or if the powers that be really were going after who coordinated whatever level of violence there was or wasn't on January 6th, you would take out Facebook. So you know that this had nothing to do with that. So really the best way to answer your question is we'll be honest and transparent about our policies. That's not going to stop the trolls. That's not going to stop, you know, the hit pieces and Daily Beast and HuffPo and the rest of it from doing what they do. I mean, it's a cottage industry of nonsense. They're going to do all that. But look, we have our own infrastructure. There is not going to be a button that Amazon will be able to press to take us out. That is the purpose of why why we as locals merged with Rumble. And, you know, that's why we're working on our own payment processors and much more. We want an alternate ecosystem. And by the way, if you come on Rumble and you make a terrorist threat or you post a snuff film or, you know, some other illegal activity, you have a much bigger problem than Rumble. The government is going to come after you. What YouTube and Facebook and the rest of them have done that was not honest was they said, hey, we're here for everybody. But then it became very clear that that really wasn't the case. So we are saying, hey, we're here for political discourse. You're allowed to say mean things. I'm sure there will be people on Rumble that have anti-Dave Rubin videos. And guess what? That's okay. You can't steal my copyrighted material. I still believe in laws. But if you want to just say bad things about Dave Rubin, you can all day.
All right. See, and transparency is something that you'll do different too.
That's the goal, you know, because think about it.
Right.
You see Zuckerberg on these hearings or, you know, you'll see, you know, Jack from Twitter, or I guess he just left Twitter. But you see these guys in hearings mostly or in very comfortable interviews. And they're so not transparent. You know, if you had a problem, almost everyone's on Gmail. It's like if you had a problem mm-hmm. with Gmail, who are you going to call?
Yeah.
You could call the Ghostbusters. That would be the best chance that you'd get to get anybody. There's nobody to call. There's nobody at these companies. When I got booted from Twitter, suspended from Twitter at the end of July, because I said that federal vaccine mandates were coming. Now, obviously, it was pretty obvious to me at the time, and I'm fairly certain that's been proven correct. But, you know, I was kicked off. There's nobody you could. I'm verified. I have a million followers, whatever it is. But there's nobody you could call and go, hey, you guys wronged me. So we want to be as transparent as possible. And by the way, it'll be a work in progress. I'm not sitting here telling you we have every single thing solved in the most, you know, completely holistic way.
Yeah.
So when you get to be our age, you have to worry about things like skincare. Dave Rubin does not have to worry about skincare. He's got perfect skin, does not need to worry about skincare. But for us ladies and perhaps some older gentlemen as well who don't have perfect skin like Dave Rubin, you might want to consider the best skincare on the planet, which is GenuCell.
That's right. It's the best stuff ever. I mean, literally, my jaw used to be on the ground. I used to drag it. And then I started using GenuCell. It's tightened all this up. You could see it. You would be horrified at what it used to be. And now you'd be like, oh my God. I mean, her jaw looks amazing. Amazing for a 50-year-old. It really does. That, and then I use their XB cream, which is just, it's like, it's the most diva moisturizer ever. I love it. It's the fluff butter technology. It's true. And listen, I am a snob when it comes to skincare. I've been using really good skincare since I was 12 years old. I'm a huge snob. This stuff is the best stuff out there. We promise, hands down. So from now until Christmas, GenuCell, they have this thing called the most popular package. It's awesome. It has all these wonderful little morsels of awesomeness for your skin in it. It's 60% off, 6-0, you guys, which is basically like getting it for free. So I don't know what you're waiting for. You can get that at lovegenucell.com/chicks. Treat yourself, treat a loved one. It's the absolute best skincare in the world. Just go to love, LoveGenuCell.com/chicks and then enter our special promo code chicks for an extra special holiday present. Who doesn't love extra special holiday presents? I ask you. That's LoveGenuCell.com/chicks. LoveGenuCell.com/chicks. I wanted to ask you, because I dove into your background a little bit and I saw, you know, he was at Young Turks. He did a lot of things before, you know, before he became Dave Rubin, the guy who's, you know, I don't want to label you, because I'd rather you label yourself, or if you don't have a label for yourself, you know, you can tell us, because you are this transparent guy, right? So, I mean, I guess I would consider you a guy who's on the right side of the aisle, right? So, but you've not always been on the right side of the aisle. So for people who are just getting to know Dave Rubin, because I mean, I don't know where these people are, like what rock they're crawling out from underneath. But if they're just getting to know you, you know, I guess you could say that you were somewhat red-pilled. In a nutshell, how did that happen? And what would you say to people? Because we get people all the time. We've been doing this 13 years and we get people all the time, not maybe not all the time, but, you know, enough of the time. That's one of the reasons that we keep doing this, that will come to us and say, you know, I was a liberal or I was on the left. And then I started listening to you and you guys aren't so terrible. And you deliver the news in a way that's a little bit more palatable. And so now I'm starting to see your point of view. And also, the left is freaking crazy right now. You know, they're a bunch of commies. Everybody's so, you know, they're batshit. And so, you know, I'm curious, what was your big turning point?
Yeah, there were a couple. I'll give you one, but I would just say to the latter part of your point that one of the reasons these guys love censorship, one of the reasons that the system itself loves censorship, is because they don't want conservatives or right-leaning people, whatever you want to call all of us, they don't want us to be seen as human. They don't want us to be seen as fully functioning people who are fun and happy and light and nice. I mean, I can tell you one of the most shocking things for me in my political evolution is that it's not just the idea set. Like, I was like, oh, I got some of this stuff wrong. I used to be a Bernie supporter. It was that as I started shifting right and I read more Thomas Sowell books and I, you know, interviewed him and I sat down with scary Ben Shapiro and Dennis Prager and Glenn Beck, all of these very scary, these are very scary people who are now often at my house for dinner. But as it was happening, what I realized was, wait a minute, these guys are actually happier. They're nicer. They're more generous of spirit and time and emotion and everything else. They're more open. They're more pleasant. Like, all of it. It's all true. It's all true. It's like Han Solo in the first of the last crappy movies when they're asking, are you Han Solo? Yeah, it's all true. Like, there's people think that conservatives are somehow mean or scary or only care about money or war. It's like completely backwards. That's how seriously perverse the media is. But I did have a couple wake up moments. I go into a bunch of them in my first book. The one that's the most famous is that I had Larry Elder on my show, and I was still a lefty at the time. I was supporting Bernie, but I really was waking up. I was early on, there's something wrong with the left. Like, these people are not acting liberally. They're acting illiberally. This woke thing is terrible. They're ushering in racism in the name of anti-racism. I was sort of ahead on that. And then I sat down with Larry Elder, who I knew was, you know, well-versed. And, you know, he describes himself, I think, as a small L libertarian, but doesn't even matter at this point. He's someone on the right, libertarian, conservative. We sat down, we started talking about systemic racism, and he just basically beat me over the head with facts.
I watched it and I loved it and I posted it years ago.
It's a thing of beauty.
Everyone's seen it. It's been seen probably 30 million times, you know, spliced a million times. And I say to people, it was my best and worst moment at the same exact time career-wise, because it was my worst moment, obviously. I presented this idea of systemic racism and I did what lefties do. Well, I said it, so it must be true. And then he had facts, right? So then he just beat me senseless. And then after, so that's why it was my worst moment. But then after the show, we were at Aura TV at the time. We had a pretty big staff. I went into the control room and all of the producers were like, oh, don't worry, Dave, we're going to cut that. Don't worry. You know, we're not going to air that. And I immediately said, no, we have to air it. We have to air it, because if I'm an interviewer and I take out the stuff that's real, then I'm not really an interviewer. And, you know, I knew it wasn't going to be great. I knew the reaction wasn't going to be great. But I'll tell you, a day or two later, you know, a million clips go up and it's, you know, black conservative destroys libtard and all the rest of it. But then I started looking in the comments and people were going, you know, Ruben seemed like he listened and he seemed like he might explore this a little bit. And guess what? That's what I did. And the rest is history, as they say.
That's amazing.
The rest is history. Oh my gosh.
It's one of my favorite moments, because I remember seeing the title of the clip that I saw of it, and somebody, I don't think it was you necessarily, or maybe it was, somebody had titled it, "This is the moment that Dave Rubin..."
No, that wasn't me. I've seen that clip.
Yeah. And so when I saw that, I always wondered if that was true. So it's interesting to hear you kind of confirm that, yes, that was one of those aha moments for you.
That was the big one, because, you know, everyone has the moments in their lives. You know, the thing is, what I always tell people when I, especially college kids, it's like, you know, your friends are always yelling at you about all this leftist nonsense. And if you don't bow to them and agree with them at the exact same time, all you need, so they always ask me, I'm sure you guys get this too. They always say to me, well, what can I do to wake up my friends? And I think the trick is that if you have any flicker mm-hmm. of original thought in your head, if you have anything that doesn't make you a conforming robot, well, then eventually these wokesters, these collectivists, they will come for you. So it's like, if you can tell that to a college kid, and when he's getting, or he or she's getting assaulted by the mob, to turn to their friend and be like, do you have any opinion that's different than all of these people? You might get them to think, boy, I do, in which case, uh-oh, now you're in trouble because the mob's going to turn on you. Or if you don't, you might, as a young person, you might go, maybe I should have varying opinions and shouldn't only hang out with people that are only like me. So there are ways to to break people up. And I think that that's why in the end, I'm glad that it happened, because it did help me wake up, and then it woke up a lot of other people.
Yeah, for sure.
And to some young people, that's really attractive. I mean, we see that with some, there are just a select few where they're like, you know what? I don't want to be a sheep. You know what I mean? I'm not digging this. Yeah. Which leads me to, I know you're on a short time frame here, but I'm just curious, were you raised in a conservative household? Were you raised in a pretty liberal household?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I never really thought about it till I was writing my first book. I was born in Brooklyn in 1976, when it was old Brooklyn, or at least some, maybe not old Brooklyn, like lower, you know, like immigrant Brooklyn, but it was like still rough Brooklyn. And I grew up in Long Island in the suburbs. I spent most of my adult life in New York City, and now I live in crazy LA. You can judge me accordingly. But my family growing up were liberals in the good sense of liberalism. They were JFK liberals. I describe this in the book. In every family holiday, whatever it was, religious holiday, Thanksgiving, didn't matter, everybody was arguing about everything, arguing about abortion, arguing about taxes, arguing about foreign policy. And then dessert would be served and everyone would start laughing again. Like, that was every holiday that we ever had in my family. Now, we had some aunts and uncles that were a little more conservative. Some voted Republican, some voted Democrat. But it was like we could all do this and be a family and it was all good. So that was the true spirit of liberalism, right? That idea is a liberal idea. Unfortunately, as you know, that has nothing to do with modern leftism. But also, that version of liberalism doesn't really exist anymore. The JFK liberals don't exist. You know, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who was a great senator from New York, or Ed Koch was the mayor of New York City. These people don't really exist. So if you think about a liberal in 2021, okay, there's Bill Maher, who basically is still a liberal, I would say. But at the end of the day, he tells people to vote for Democrats who are completely illiberal. So it's like, dude, get to the end of the road. You're a libertarian.
You're right.
Who wants to smoke weed and bang hookers probably and go enjoy yourself. But stop telling people to vote for Adam Schiff. Like, that's the point. So what I say now is, look, there is a very wide tent on the right, right? There are chicks on the right. There are dudes on the right. There is a wide tent. There's a very MAGA part of that. There's a more libertarian part of that. There's a more traditionally religious conservative part of that. And for me, I say, as sort of a disaffected liberal, I just don't want the government involved in that much. I'm sort of on I'm in that wide tent, and I'm going to always be pushing on the civil liberties stuff and to make sure that whatever the right becomes doesn't become too authoritarian, because we always have to watch out for that too. As long as we can agree to disagree on a couple things, which, by the way, conservatives have shown themselves to do that. Conservatives basically don't care about gay marriage anymore, at least at a public side. They may have their own personal religious things. Rudy Giuliani, who was a huge Trump supporter, who everyone would say is a conservative, he's pro-choice. I mean, there is an ability to agree to disagree, and that's what we have to foster there. That's why this has been so fun for me over the last couple of years, is being part of a group of people that are okay with that. I mean, I'm sure you guys went to Trump rallies. It was the greatest freaking thing ever.
So where are you on the whole, because I know you didn't vote for Trump the first time, right? It was just the second?
I voted for Gary Johnson. You know.
So where are you? Where are you? How are you feeling about 2024? Would you be a Trump guy, or would you be a DeSantis guy, or something else entirely?
Well, I hope it doesn't come down to that, because I think that if we really want to fix this thing, we need both of those guys in the game at some level. And the worst thing that I think could possibly happen is that somehow we all start viewing this as Trump or DeSantis and get Trump so like, oh, I'm not going to be beaten by this guy that I have to get in. What I've been saying to people for a while is, to me, the best situation would be that DeSantis runs. I think the Republican Party and the conservative movement can pretty much get behind this guy. I think a lot of the other candidates will just sort of step away. It could be kind of clean and pleasant, and everyone will be like, this is our guy. And then Trump could say, hey, I'll be the bodyguard on the outside. I'll deal with the hate. I know all the evil, horrible stuff they're going to do to you, Ron, and I will take the bullets on that.
Yes.
Imagine if Trump could do that. We really could fix this country pretty quickly. I don't know that he can, but that would be my hope.
God, that is exactly right. And we get so many people who say they get mad at us because we're not, you know, supportive of Trump enough when we say that we would like for DeSantis to be the guy. So there is some division there.
Well, by the way, I would qualify that by saying, although I think that would be the best way forward, it's still, and I met DeSantis a couple of weeks ago. I was at a fundraiser dinner with him. I sat at the table next to him. He's a super nice guy, clear, clean, honest. You could just tell he's a decent guy and knows his stuff, like really knows his stuff. But what I would be a little worried about is Trump was willing to do all of the horrible crap that you have to do as someone that's not woke or left or a Democrat. And even if he acted as the bodyguard, DeSantis, I don't know that he would be willing to do all of that stuff. So there is a risk there, too. I think it's a risk worth taking.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit in love with him.
Mock really loves DeSantis.
Look at the pedigree on that guy. Like, look at the pedigree on that guy. Yeah.
Right. My God. Have you seen the military pictures? It's like,
I mean, just a little bit.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, no, I'm right with you on that, though. So I think it'd be nice to have like a fresh new candidate and all that kind of stuff. Just like we used to talk about a jungle boy just coming out of the jungle, just somebody that nobody knows, just sort of like appearing as the Republican candidate. It would be really great.
No. And by the way, you know, look, Florida is flourishing at such a high level right now that it would be a shame. It would be a shame for Florida. Like in some ways, you could make an argument that DeSantis should just be like, no, I'm going to stay here, solidify this. There's so much goodness going on here.
Right.
But yeah, it's like the Democrats are so wounded. Biden is so terrible. I don't think he's going to make it the 4 years anyway. Kamala's awful. It's like there's so much opportunity here. So, you know, there's other good Republicans, too, for sure. But I think that that's probably like the main idea we should be looking at.
I just hope we make it for the next 3 years, Dave. It's so bad that you say that. I don't know if Biden's going to make it. I mean, he's doing so poorly. Kamala's a disaster. I see Pete coming in. I'm like, just get us through the next 3 years. That's all I hope and pray for, because it's been such a colossal disaster.
You got to be enthused by the fact that this guy who got 81 million votes, that's what they always tell us, his approval rating is horrible, right? So it's like, okay, apparently a lot of people really approved of him and now very few people approve of him. So it shows you, and the Virginia thing, by the way, where he won by 11 percentage points. He beat Trump by 11 percentage points. Then Youngkin beat McAuliffe by, you know, 3 or something. But that's huge. Like within a year, look at the absolute shift. So I think that's a good sign right there.
So I don't know if you can answer this or if you're willing to, but I just wonder if any name just jumps to the front of your brain when I ask this question, because you've interviewed a lot of people. Who has been the most fascinating for you to interview?
You know, probably the first time that I interviewed Jordan Peterson, which was in November of 2016, I had actually just moved into my new house. So it was before we had my proper studio. We didn't even have Wi-Fi in my house. So we were stealing Wi-Fi from the neighbor. So I had a very bad Skype connection with him. And it was also when no one really knew who he was. It had just started bubbling up online, like, talk to this Jordan Peterson guy. He talks about Pinocchio a lot. And I'm doing this video with him, and it's blurry and it's going in and out. And I can't quite hear him at times. And I swear we finished that interview and I turned to my producer and I said, that guy was either the most fascinating person I've ever spoke to or a complete nut job. And he's proven to me, and you know, we toured together for a year and a half in 20 countries and 120 stops. I mean, he's proven to me to not only be one of the most fascinating guys, but someone who has set a lot of order in a very chaotic world. And I'm glad to see that he's, you know, getting back into the spotlight.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've been asked to ask you from one of a mutual fan of ours and yours that we're not allowed to let you leave until we ask about Clyde.
Clyde's good. You know, we got Clyde on, Clyde's my dog, obviously, our dog. We got Clyde the day that lockdown started because I saw a story in the midst of all that craziness. They were going to put down all these dogs at the shelters. And our other dog, Emma, had just passed away after she lived a great life after 16 years. She was a rescue from Hurricane Katrina. She lived an amazing life. But I was going to be on a book tour. We wanted, you know, after a dog passes away, you usually want a little bit of time. But I saw this story about them putting all the dogs out. I ran to the shelter and they had already signed the thing that he was going to be put down in an hour.
Oh.
I grabbed him. He had no name.
Oh, my God.
I said, Clyde, you're coming with us. That's it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, good.
We're such dog people. So that's awesome.
My guys are giving me the signal here. So I got time for one more though.
Actually, we were just going to thank you so much, and we were going to tell you to tell Kaylee that we said hi, even though she has no idea that we exist. So
I will tell Kaylee that the Chicks on the Right say hello.
Please do. It was so, so nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Yes, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time, Dave.
Thanks,
we really,
guys.
Really
it was
appreciate
a pleasure.
It. We appreciate all that you do.
Bye.
Oh my God, I love him. Dave is so great.
Yeah, he's like, and not, he's not only like a stick of butter, he's like a bar of gold. That's what he's like.
I see what you did there. That is some excellent segueing into talking about our great friends at Acre Gold. Acre Gold is this really awesome subscription service way to get your hands on actual physical, tangible gold instead of the kind of gold that's like tucked away in an IRA or a mutual fund somewhere. If you are interested and have always kind of been interested in getting your hands on physical gold that you can store at home in your own safe, this is a way to pay a little bit at a time until you earn a bar of gold. And then you get it sent in the mail. It's very, very handy. You can either do a $50 subscription or $100 or $500 if you want to go big and large. But it's a really neat way to get into gold without fear, without worrying, without going crazy. You can just try it out, see what you think, and stack it up in your safe.
Yeah, I just like it because it's given me an opportunity to diversify a little bit, which has been kind of fun. It's been a little fun. You should do this, you guys. Visit getacregold.com/chicks. You can start investing in physical gold, actual gold, little bars of gold today. Make sure you go to this URL because Acre's giving away a gold bar, which is completely cool. And to qualify for the giveaway, all you got to do is tweet or post why you should be the recipient and mention @get_Acre. That's getacregold.com/chicks. And we are super excited to have them as a supporter of the show. So thank you to Acre Gold.
The Women's Tennis Association pulls its events out of China. Stacey Abrams is running for governor again without admitting she lost last time. And the coverage of the Jussie Smollett and Ghislaine Maxwell trials are curiously quiet. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Join us for the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.